In an unearthed interview, Gavin Newsom's wife throws direct insults at evangelical Christians.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's Thursday. We're live. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air today, that's right. If you're listening to us on the radio, you can call in. If you're watching us on YouTube, maybe you're watching us on the Salem News Channel. However you're watching us, we're live right now. We want you to be a part of the show at 1-800-684-3110. It is a packed one today. We got John Solomon coming up a little bit later. And then, of course, our friend Rick Rennell will be joining us as well, because we're going to flash over to the state of California in a newly resurfaced interview. And again, when we say that, we're only talking about a couple years ago. We're not talking about flashing back 20 years. We're not talking about flashing back even 5 years. We're talking about taking you to the year of 2022. And Gavin Newsom, who, you know, has always been teasing a potential run for president of the United States. As that has happened, people started to go back, as they do. You have opposition research. You have all the people going through and saying, what could be some problems that could hang up this campaign? And an interview with local news in California, this was on Fox LA, Fox 11 LA, on a segment they have called The Issue Is, Jennifer Newsom, who is Gavin Newsom's wife, decided to take a direct shot. I mean this. Like, this is not some hyperbole clickbait. Not just at pro-lifers, but specifically at evangelical Christians, evangelical conservatives. And again, when this happens, it feels like this always has to come from a place where someone's running for president. And of course, when a president, your hope is that they will be representing everyone. But when you have this kind of rhetoric specifically centered around the conversation of life, I'm just going to let you hear it yourself. This is Jennifer Newsom on Fox 11 just a few years ago. And this recently, again, people go, well, it's an old interview. It's an old interview from 2022, because I don't know if a lot of you were watching when Gavin Newsom's wife was appearing on local news. So again, these content is being kind of combed through now. And again, just a couple years later, here you go. Here's Jennifer Newsom.
But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is just this. They're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately it's just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not going to be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now, and they're woke, and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
California has a huge responsibility to lead. Of course, discounting a huge population. Many of you are probably listening right now, maybe on KKLA or any of the stations that we are on, or maybe you're watching on YouTube in California. Our first or second, depending on the month, biggest supporter base for the ACLJ is from the state of California. You know what those are? Evangelical conservative Christians. Because you got a pretty big state that has a lot of people who disagree with not only the governor's point of view, but clearly the governor's wife's point of view, when she says this evangelical conservative silo that it ultimately is just pulling us back as a country. We don't deserve to be there, according to, again, Mrs. Newsom. First lady.
First partner, first, by the way. That's what she refers to herself as. The first partner
okay,
of California.
I'm sorry. First partner
Get it right,
of California.
Logan.
I didn't even... That wasn't like a setup here. I had no idea. I'm sorry. My apologies.
How dare you.
To the first partner.
That's right.
What do you think about this? Is this becoming of a potential presidential candidate? I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. You know, we're having a lot of conversations about spouses of mayors, spouses of governors, but this one even hits a little closer because they specifically talk about leading California, which again would be also leading the country if becomes president of the United States. And of course, Gavin Newsom, as of today, probably the leading candidate for the Democrats in 2028. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Again, joined by John Solomon and Rick Rennell a little bit later. back to Secula. Once again, eyes are starting to turn to 2028. It is not that far away. We've already heard a lot of people who are considering running. Of course, the leading candidate for the Democrats would be Gavin Newsom. Preferably, it'll be Stephen A. Smith. But if it's not going to be Stephen, who is calling for Nashville to get an NBA team. So you know what? He's pretty close to having my vote.
Really, you're a single-issue voter. Bring an NBA team to Loganstown, position, even if it's like county commissioner, he'll vote for you.
And I don't know the guy, but I'm like a step away.
Yeah.
Like, he always like ragging on Sean Hannity. Sean's one of our good friends, like in a fun, playful way. So it could happen. But the eyes are turned to Gavin Newsom in 2028. It's just the truth. He's making tour stops. He was here in Nashville just a few weeks ago, lines out the door. He, of course, was making those statements in Georgia claiming, you know, I'm just like you. I can't read. I have a low SAT score. Insulting people over and over again. Insulting people who have, whether it's learning difficulties or whatever it may be. Even if he included himself in that, it just was a ridiculous moment. Of course, we've been at court with Gavin Newsom here at the ACLJ, with the state of California. Because at the time when his wife was making appearances, doing the rounds here on the media, talking about how insulting evangelical Christians are, talking about how they're holding us back and they're not going to hold us back because we have awoken to, you know, whatever their version of being a pro-lifer is. And of course, they talk about things like prenatal care. They talk about postnatal care, talk about formula, all those different things, daycare, childcare. I know things that pro-life pregnancy centers offer, but of course, in states like California, we know they're trying to shut those people down. We know they're still trying to collect fines, over $1 million in fines that they think from COVID era, from Calvary Chapel in California. And the ACLJ has been fighting that.
That's right. And actually, today is a very important day when it comes to that. We filed our cert petition.
Yeah, things come together.
As you remember, in December. And then California got an unprecedented 2 extensions in their ability to file their reply to our cert petition. One is normal. Like, people ask for an extension all the time, but they got 2. So they asked for it twice to move this deadline back. Today is the deadline. They have until the end of the day to file their response to our cert petition, asking the Supreme Court to hear this case where they are still trying to get $1.2 million from Calvary Chapel, San Jose. This was over their allegations of violating COVID restrictions. Meanwhile, California...
6 years later.
And then California was handing out exemptions to every business under the sun except for a church.
You know, Gavin himself was breaking those rules.
Exactly. And once again, why does this all matter? Well, because Gavin Newsom and the first partner were in office at this time. They are the ones that oversee all this. And why would they be going so hard against a church? Well, maybe because the first partner, the first lady of California, Jennifer Newsom, believes that evangelical Christians and conservatives are in this silo that is pulling this country back.
Yeah, a lot of you are just joining us right now, so I think we should play this clip once again. We're not going to play it ad nauseum. You're not going to hear it probably more than 5 or 6 more times. But you'll probably hear it when we have Rick Rinella on a little bit later, because cool, that'll be, you know, that's in like 30 or 40 minutes, so you got time again. But I do want to make sure there's a lot of you who are just joining us right now. And again, I encourage you, if you're brand new, hit that thumbs up. Or not if you're brand new. If you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. But if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Throw in the comments. Let me know where you're watching from, especially you Californians that I see in the comments right now. I know this doesn't represent you. Again, sometimes we take New York and California, and it feels like conservatives often write off those areas. I do not subscribe to that. I think we should have a thriving California, Southern California, Northern California. It's, again, some of the most beautiful places in the world. Places that need to be protected. Places that need to have proper representation. New York City, the capital of the world. I believe it should be treated that way. We should have respect for it, and it should be clean and safe, and all of these things that should be happening for people. But of course, right now, the leadership is in chaos. But you wouldn't know it, because the media loves to present them as these heroic figures. But we want to make sure you know what we're talking about here. And when you look at the state of California, you watch Gavin Newsom, you may feel one way. You may see that he had someone like a Charlie Kirk on his podcast go, maybe this guy is really willing to reach across the aisle. Maybe he is could be a good leader and a good bipartisan president. And then you listen to the rhetoric coming out of him, and now unearthing this interview from just a couple years ago of his wife talking specifically about pro-life evangelical Christians. And look, I'm not putting those terms into her mouth. Very rarely do you hear people slam the word evangelical Christians
when
they're leading a state, especially a state that was probably the leader in the evangelical movement. Of course, starting during the Jesus movement, the Jesus revolution that happened in the 60s and 70s, all the way through the Christian music movement, all the way through TBN and the creation of Christian television, all the things that happened, a lot of it started in Southern California. But of course, this is how California decides they are going to treat their very large and thriving conservative evangelical space. And remember, this is how it will be if they are treating the entire country this way as the leaders. Take a listen.
But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is just this. They're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately is just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not going to be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now and they're woke and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
Well, we know, one, that they are going after churches. They are trying to get these fines. But also, I want to play another comment from Jennifer Newsom, because she was talking about pro-life issues, something that we fight for and care very deeply about here at the ACLJ. California is a state where we have had to fight in court to get them to stop targeting pro-life pregnancy resource centers. They had a law that our suit was against Kamala Harris, because she was the attorney general at the time, where they forced pro-life pregnancy resource centers to advertise for abortion. They had to post a sign, and the law dictated the font size, the wording, that told people that went into pro-life centers where you can go get an abortion. But here is the wordplay and the twisting of meaning that you are seeing out of the governor's office and the governor's wife. This is Bite 7, that same interview, mind you. Let's go ahead and roll it.
So many progressives are leaning into the redefining what pro-life is really about, and that's what we're doing in California. You know, pro-life is about prenatal care and universal preschool and universal after school and universal health care and taking care of foster kids and feeding universal meals and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, child care. Like, that's pro-life. It's not conception.
And Logan, I think part of that I agree with, and I don't think she realizes that she agrees with conservatives. That's what a lot of these pregnancy resources do. Prenatal care. That's where you can go and get free prenatal care.
Actual prenatal care.
Right.
Of all the claims against pro-life pregnancy centers, I think if you are planning on keeping your child, pretty much that's what they offer.
Exactly.
Prenatal care.
They offer that. And then also the things of like universal child care, those things, she's wanting the state to provide it. Right. But what she doesn't realize is that the very centers that they despise, that they tried to get to post advertisements for abortion clinics just a few years ago that we had to fight, those are the clinics that without government funding are trying to do that hard work, trying to help mothers be able to care for their children even after birth. They think, they tell lies, and they say that it's just a center to say, you better have this baby, and they coerce people into having a baby. It's not that. They've never set foot inside of one. They don't understand the good work these people do that we fight for every day here at the ACLJ.
We are going to pivot a little bit, but stay on hold. If you're on hold right now and phone lines are almost completely jammed, we got one line open. 1-800-684-3110. Two things. I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Of course, our teams, if you were talking about Gavin Newsom, Today, as we said, today is the deadline for California and Gavin Newsom to respond to our Supreme Court case against their attempt again to seize millions of dollars from Calvary Chapel San Jose. You can be a part of that ACLJ team right now by going to aclj.org. And when you do it today, it is part of our Double Your Impact Drive, which is happening right now. All donations are matched and doubled. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org, have your donation doubled, have your tax-deductible donation again doubled during our Double Your Impact Drive. Now, Will, coming up in the next segment, we've got our friend John Solomon. Give us a little bit of a preview.
That's right. Just the News has uncovered that we've heard of Crossfire Hurricane and Arctic Frost. The FBI had two additional named investigations against President Trump. We're going to talk about that as well as some other things from Just the News.
That's right. Again, join us today at aclj.org. We'll be right back with John Solomon later on, Rick Grinnell, and of course, your calls and comments when we get back. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are almost completely jammed. We got one line open. In the next segments, we're going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We're joined by a friend, John Solomon from Just the News. Will, I'm thinking you wanted to set this up a little bit.
That's
for us.
Right. So this is a couple big topics over at justthenews.com, where it is one of the first places we look every morning when we are planning out this show. But John, this came out a couple days ago on Just the News that we've heard about Crossfire Hurricane, we've heard about Arctic Frost, but under the review from Director Kash Patel, they have uncovered two more named investigations targeting President Trump that also swept up hundreds of Americans and violating their privacy rights. But this is all coming from these prohibited access designations the FBI was using. Can you tell us about what you found at Just the News and what this means?
Yeah, but basically what it means is that there was a secret system that put Donald Trump under consistent, nonstop counterintelligence investigation, along with many of his followers, hundreds of his followers, from the summer of 2016, which is when our Crossfire Hurricane occurs, all the way to January of 2025, when he takes his second oath of office as the 47th president. We've known about Crossfire Hurricane for a long time. That's long now been debunked. There never was any evidence, according to the special prosecutor who looked at it, that Donald Trump conspired with Russia. It was a made-up allegation by Hillary Clinton's campaign and her researchers. We heard about the last one more recently, Arctic Frost, and we knew that that targeted people on the notion that it was a criminal conspiracy to offer the United States Senate alternate electors in a disputed election. Now, that's interesting that that became a criminal conspiracy, because twice before in history, in 1876 and in 1960 with John F. Kennedy, candidates did the exact same thing. Tilden in 1876, Kennedy in 1960, they weren't prosecuted. It wasn't even considered a criminal act then. But in that case, President Trump was treated as a criminal threat. In between those two, we now have learned about two new operations. Plasmic Echo looks at the possibility that President Trump took classified documents to his home in Mar-a-Lago. And that is an investigation that swept up some pretty important phone records, including those of his future chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and his future FBI director, Kash Patel. Pretty hard to understand why they would be targeted, but apparently they were, and other people were as well. And then the one that may draw the most concern, and we know the least about now because it's highly classified, we expect that to change in the next few weeks when declassifications occur. It's called Round River. And what makes this unique, according to the officials I've interviewed, is that the investigation is predominantly predicated on free speech delimiters. Basically, if you said certain things about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, or Ukraine, in that famous period where we had the impeachment, then we found out, oh, it was all true. Hunter Biden did have these problems. You were considered a national security threat by the FBI, and you were subjected to counterintelligence and counter-espionage tactics. And we think that that one swept up lawyers and journalists. When you take all of the, also movie makers, we just learned and were able to confirm someone who made a Hunter Biden movie was swept up in that investigation. Those four investigations means President Trump was under continuous secret investigation by the FBI for about a decade. And more than 500 more than 500 people around him. Most people who never get indicted for anything, they were innocent, are also swept up and their phone records are taken. We know members of Congress. We know filmmakers. We know journalists. It is a very remarkable period in FBI history, and all of it was kept off the books. Most FBI agents couldn't even see these investigations because they were put in these prohibited access files, which basically keeps them off the books except for a few select people.
And John, that is one of the biggest concerns, obviously, for the director as well. The ways that they shielded these investigations from even the FBI itself. And once again, hopefully we will learn more about this Round River investigation, which does seem like it could be concerning for hundreds, if not thousands of Americans, the way that they were targeting even partially our First Amendment rights through that. But I also wanted to quickly pivot here because there's also a piece up because Joe Kent, who is now departed the director of National Counterterrorism, and he is it appears being reported that may also be under investigation for classified documents leaks. Could you give us a brief update on that?
Yeah, so this is an investigation that stretches back several months. It began way before Joe Kent contemplated or sent in his resignation letter Monday in what became a big legacy media story. And it may explain some of the friction that goes on that was going on in his career behind the scenes that we couldn't see. They are looking at some information about classified leaks. This has been confirmed by multiple officials I've talked to. We expect that case to come to a resolution in the next couple of weeks. So there'll be some clarity about what it is, what he did, what he didn't do, whether he's going to be charged or not charged. But it does give some context about something we didn't know when the resignation letter was suddenly sprung upon us on Monday. Now, he's a hero, 11 times deployed into combat during the Iraq and Afghan war. He lost his wife in combat. She also was a brave Navy officer. So he has a wonderful career. He served his country bravely and proudly and with great sacrifice. But when you move into these civilian jobs, you have certain responsibilities. And the question that we'll have to wait and see is, was there evidence of some classified leak? Was he in some way involved in it? I think we'll get some clear resolution in the next couple of weeks.
John, I appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show today. I do think there's always a lot of people watching and they're looking for different news sources, news outlets. We always say we provide the 1 hour a day where they can get a lot of information and a lot of different topics that we'll hit in the day. But we always go to just the news first because your information is so well thought out. It's so well researched. And maybe we'll just give you here a minute before we have to go to break. Just tell people why you think at least, and I know why you would think personally because it's obviously your baby, if you will, but why just the news has become such a force here and why people need to be checking it out.
Thank you for saying so. And by the way, I love your guys' show. I listen as often as I can. It's such a great show. It's really well done. We trust the reader to make up their own mind. We don't have an agenda of trying to lead you to certain conclusions. In fact, what we do is we put up all of our documents. When we break a story, we embed the documents, the video, everything that was in our reporter's notebook you get to see because we want you to not take our word for it. We want you to be able to explore it yourself. And I think that transparency has allowed a lot of people to say, oh, that doesn't sound like a right story. Whoa, wait, I read it. Oh. It's there. Wow, I didn't know. And I think that voyage of self-discovery, which journalists sometimes protect, I think it's worth exposing. And so we let all of our reporters, but we require all of our reporters to put as much of the research as they have that they can make public along with the story. And that lets everybody make up their own mind. And we're very proud of that approach. We have a thing called the dig-in tool, and that's where you can quickly click and see all of our research. And I think it's become distinctive for us. It creates a bond of trust with our readers, and we're just so grateful.
All right, John, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. We agree with John, so always check out Just the News when you're looking for just incredibly researched something. Like you said, it provides all the data. Everything that you need is there at your fingertips with them. So thanks, John, for joining us today. Now, look, we got a second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, if you're still listening on terrestrial radio or wherever it may be, you can find us broadcasting live each and every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. That's on ACLJ.org. That's on YouTube. That's on Rumble, Facebook. However you get your podcasts, really, we are there. If they have a live option, we're broadcasting. If not, you can catch us later on archived. However you get your podcasts, you can find us there on your favorite player or social media platform. We are available at ACLJ.org and, of course, through the ACLJ app as well. And I want to take this last 25 seconds or you for this half hour. And again, we only take about a minute break here, literally under a minute, to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Let's put that QR code up on the screen if you're watching at ACLJ.org. Do it today. Have your gift doubled today. It's matched dollar for dollar. with a tax-deductible donation. Again, at aclj.org. Second half hour coming up. Less than a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour. Phone lines are completely jammed. Well, actually, I lied. One line is open.
Don't lie, Logan.
That's why I corrected myself. One line's open at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to get on hold. We're going to take some calls. Maybe we'll try to take a call in this segment. We'll take a call also, all the rest of the calls, in the last segment. And in between that, our friend Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us. Of course, our eyes are on the state of California, because in a recently unearthed interview, as you may have heard earlier in the show, but if you're just joining us right now for the second half hour, Gavin Newsom's wife is being interviewed specifically about a project she was working on. It was around the time, of course, we say it's a flashback, but only to 2022. We are talking about a flashback to when Dobbs, obviously Roe versus Wade, was overturned. The Dobbs decision happened, and abortion was no longer federally on the books as a right. In that same time, she decided to make a pretty aggressive statement during an interview with local news in California, one that specifically called out, by name, by the way, again, not putting her words in her mouth. The words were, they're living in an evangelical conservative silo that is ultimately pulling us back as a country. Later on, she said, essentially, I have so much hope because obviously California has a responsibility to lead. We don't deserve to be in that time that those evangelical conservatives want us to be in. And of course, this is as the time the Supreme Court was ruling. And this is a time where, again, as a state of California, though sure, it is predominantly a liberal state. And there's not been, well, I mean, there's been Republican governors, certainly, many, many, many times. Maybe not as traditional Republicans as you would even think. But there are tons of pro-life evangelicals in the state of California and around the world. In your blue states, in your red states, they're everywhere.
And you know what's also bizarre about this? And once again, this clip, I'm glad it was unearthed, because the original video only has 1,900 views. Now this clip hopefully will have millions and millions more.
Thanks to our friend Rick Grinnell.
Right, Rick Grinnell posted it. We saw it. We'll talk to him about it in the next segment. But once again, this is someone who right now is doing a tour of the American South, the Southeast, going to South Carolina, going to Nashville, Tennessee, going to Atlanta, trying to speak to a more traditionally church-going evangelical crowd, even if he's trying to get them to side with him and not necessarily vote for a conservative candidate. That is who he is trying to go and reach out to right now. I want to hear a Q&A session where someone brings this up and says, hey, you know, we kind of like you. You're appealing to us, but is this the way you feel as well? Is this the way you're going to govern? How is that going to play? Where he needs votes. He needs votes all around the country if he wants to be the president of the United States, not just in the blue state safe holds that they have. That is what I want to hear, because it is shocking to hear someone so directly say it.
I want to take a quick call before we go to break. Let's go to Ron in California. Kind of sets up our next segment as well. Go ahead, Ron. Listen to it. Watch it on YouTube.
I'm just like you guys.
All right, let's put Ron back on hold there. We'll try to get to him. I think we had some connection difficulties there. But Ron, appreciate it. I know what Ron was going to say, and we'll get to you. We'll get to you, Ron. I know you've been on hold a half an hour, but it just there was something when we went to you that didn't really quite connect, where he talked about, you know, that in the state of California, they're very well aware of the perception of the government family, of the, what is it, the governor and the first partner.
The first partner.
I want to make sure I got it right. When we get back, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. See what he has to say about this. You know, he's a man of few words in terms of his, thoughts on Gavin Newsom. You know, so we'll see. Always a fun conversation. We get back, though. We want to hear from you as well. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We are in a fight right now with Gavin Newsom in the state of California as they are trying to get $1 million-plus fines on Calvary Chapel, San Jose, years after the case. We are trying to still fight for them, because this is an attack on evangelical Christians within their own state. And again, I think we have to stand up. We have to be the voice for them. You can do it too at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. To Seculo, we are going to be taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell's joining us, I believe from California. But before we get to Rick, I think for all of you who are just joining us, we need to set this up. And look, I have to give some credit here to Rick because I would not have seen this clip if it wasn't for the fact that he posted on X this morning. This is, again, they'll claim a flashback bite. This is something that, you know, it's an interview, unearthed interview, as we said. Again, we're talking about flashing back a couple years here. We're talking about to 2022, because I don't know if you know this. A lot of people were not watching Gavin Newsom's wife's interview on local Fox affiliates on Los Angeles worldwide or countrywide. But now, as he has become one of the front runners for the Democratic Party to be the, you know, the guy who they seem to be pushing as the potential presidential candidate, making a tour around the American South right now with Gavin Newsom, here is what his wife had to say. And I didn't have to put any words in her mouth. We didn't have to do anything, you know, any sort of editing or clipping. These are the thoughts from, again, Gavin Newsom's wife, the governor of California, on specifically evangelical conservatives.
But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is just this, they're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately it's just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not gonna be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now and they're woke and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
Rick, I'm just going to let you go because I think you're talking about a state of California, by the way, which again is a place we all love, and specifically calling out a large portion, by the way, of the state, because I know plenty of people that I love and respect California that are those evangelical conservatives, and that is coming directly from the governor's wife.
This is just the latest governor's wife. Remember, he is somebody who has been in a silo of craziness towards all sorts of women, having affairs with literally his best friend's wife. If we're going to talk about silos and the problems of silos, let's talk about the fact that the Newsoms are completely in their own egotistical silo. I think it's quite offensive to have her attack evangelical Christians like we live in a silo. I don't know what she's talking about when it comes to that. Maybe she's talking about going to church, that you shouldn't go to church because you get a community of people who challenge you to do better and to serve Christ and to try to be more, a better person and try to make your own life better. I don't understand why she has to mock evangelicals, but make no mistake, she does this intentionally. She does this consistently. And it's this San Francisco mentality that really is attacking evangelicals. I should remind her that the Jesus movement actually started in California. It started in the Bay Area and moved down to Southern California. And I would argue that the Jesus movement of the 70s really ushered in an amazing moment for America, not only with revivals, but with people who were interested in making their own lives and their own communities better. She does not understand what is happening in churches across America. And for her just to mock it and to say that we're the problem and we're not going back, and I don't know what that means, because the reality is we've rejected she and Gavin's wokeness, and they are the leaders of the woke mentality in America that has really taken us backwards. We've rejected that. But I think that she should come out and explain. Maybe we should invite her here. Absolutely. To have a conversation about evangelicals, introduce her to some evangelicals. She clearly doesn't know my mother. She clearly doesn't know the tens of millions of people who identify as evangelicals around the world. I find it really offensive.
Yeah, I agree. I'm we said, it's a bit the quiet part out loud, because usually it's, you know, they don't like pro-lifers. They're fine with throwing them under the bus and all this, but you're talking about a huge group of people that identify as evangelicals. And again, a huge part of your state. I brought that up earlier. I talked about the Jesus movement. We talked about the music that came out of California, the Christian broadcasting that came out of California. And of course, when we look at our supporter base here at the ACLJ, historically, for 40 years, either number one or number two of the biggest states that are representing and supporting the work that we do, it's either Texas or California. And usually California does surpass Texas in most years because of that historic base that has existed there and that was birthed out of California. It's when people say, we got to, you know, forget about New York, forget about California. I completely disagree. There is amazing, obviously, it's an amazing place. The weather is incredible. The scenery is incredible. The people are incredible. But I don't like when anyone, by the way, a governor of a state who is representing so many people and their family decide, okay, we're going to have a target, and the target is going to be specifically by name, evangelicals.
Yeah. Look, this is personal for me, not only because I'm in California, but I can hear my mom, her voice saying, remember, the Jesus movement wasn't the first movement. It was Azusa Street Ministries, which turned into an incredible movement and revival, started in Los Angeles. My mom's family was a part of that movement. And, you know, they went on to live in San Francisco. My parents did. My brother, who's an evangelical minister now, was born when my parents lived on the corner of Haight and Ashbury in a condo. So we have in the Grinnell family an incredible connection to Azusa Street, to the Jesus movement, to California. And when I hear somebody like Jennifer talk about how we shouldn't go back, it's really offensive for her to attack evangelicals. I can't tweet about this and talk about this enough, because I think that she has a duty and a responsibility right now to come clean. Why is she attacking evangelicals? What does she mean we're not going back to the days of, you know, when we weren't woke? That's really what she's saying. She is so happy that parents are woke and fathers of daughters are woke. What does that even mean? She's not even attacking policies. She's attacking people who are amazing people trying to make their lives better and trying to make their communities better. It's so offensive.
Rick, and once again, I want to remind the audience, everyone watching, that it's not just her views, because we also know that Gavin Newsom and his administration, that's who we are at today, waiting for the state's reply to our cert petition at the Supreme Court, where they're trying to effectively bankrupt Calvary Chapel San Jose, demanding $1.2 million of their tithes and offerings to pay COVID fines. So just remember, it's not just his wife. That's the administration, that what they believe. But I did want to quickly get this from you, because as former acting director of national intelligence, you may have some insight on this. The media has really gone after Tulsi Gabbard over the past couple days. Yesterday was the global threat assessment hearing, and they are trying to spin what she said, where she effectively was saying, at the end of the day, the commander-in-chief makes the decisions on these things. But here was the headline from New York Times, and you heard this echoed by Democrats that were questioning her. But it says, on Iran, Gabbard turned intelligence duties over to Trump. I just want to get your take on this, because I feel like the commander-in-chief making a decision when he is advised by his intelligence chiefs, that's actually what the Constitution would prescribe, not having someone that is placed there and not elected by the people make the decisions for him. But what's your take on this?
You know, one of the problems that we have in the media is that we have a bunch of people writing stories, reporters, who have never had a security clearance. They certainly have never had a top secret security clearance. They don't understand the process. And once they learn the process, I think they would be embarrassed that they're writing some of this stuff. But the process that Tulsi leads is a very detailed process of a whole bunch of intelligence officers across the spectrum of 18, 19 intelligence agencies, gathering information. It starts at about 2 in the morning, It goes all the way through the morning and it comes into a report that is presented to the president. Tulsi is the one who has to almost edit that report into making sure that it touches on all of the threats around the world. And so her job is to bring up every single threat and do it in a way that is presented as factual. And she has a whole team that's doing it. She's doing a great job of presenting that information without pushing an agenda. And once that information is given to the president, then the president makes the best decisions. Her job is to prepare U.S. officials with the best intelligence that we have.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. We always appreciate your thoughts and guidance in this. And of course, thoughts in California. Hopefully, you get some answers. We'll see what happens here. We'll keep you updated. That being said, a lot of you got some questions and comments coming up about this topic. We're going to take your calls coming right up. So you've been on hold, stay on hold. Two lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead, get on hold. We'll do our best to get to you. Support the work of the ACLJ during the Double Your Impact Drive. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Last segment of the day, a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of you have been on hold for nearly 45 plus minutes, and I appreciate that. We know it has been a packed show with incredible content. I appreciate it. We're going to start off strong. Let's go. Ron in California, line two. Watching on YouTube, Ron. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, God bless you guys for your work. I love everything you do. I'm 64 years old. Retired, born in California. I've got 6 grown children. I'm not woke. I don't support Gavin Newsom, didn't vote for him. His views and his wife's views are not the views of most Californians. I was raised in Calvary Chapel down here in Southern California, and God bless Chuck Smith Sr. for the work he did with all the homeless people that would have probably died on the street had it not been for Calvary Chapel to save their lives and give these guys another chance. But, for Gavin's wife to say that, all of the father's daughters are woke, that's not the belief system or the view that most Christians in California have. Gavin is directly related to Nancy Pelosi and the former Jerry Brown of governor. And I don't believe really that most Californians voted for Gavin. I don't think he's been put in office honestly. And I hope that most people in the United States feel the same way, because I mean, look what he's done during COVID. He goes to the dirty laundry restaurant why everybody else has been forced to stay indoors.
Ron, I think that the proof is all there that this is someone who is completely disrespecting your way of life, being a evangelical, being a conservative, whether that's in the state of California or across the country, while trying to make himself a sort of moderate figure. You can remember when he had on Charlie Kirk on his podcast and "My Son Loves You" and all of those things. We know that this is the character he tries to build. And there are very few politicians. And look, I don't know about the who voted, who didn't vote. That's not really, in my purview here. But I do know when someone is lying to you or when they're not lying to you. And when are they not lying to you? When they say that you are living in an evangelical silo and we're not going back.
Well, and Ron, I want to bring up that point too. You talk about all the great work that churches like Calvary Chapel have done over the years and how many lives they have saved directly doing the work of the church, reaching out to the homeless. We know the homeless crisis that Gavin Newsom has unfurled on the state. But once again, he was going to high-end restaurants. He was allowing bars and nightclubs and all sorts of things to get passes during COVID. They're still trying to collect $1.2 million from Calvary Chapel. That is $1.2 million that can go to feeding the homeless, taking care of them, keeping them alive, because that is the good work that those churches do in California when the government fails. Because the church knows their calling and their mission. But you know what? Gavin Newsom says, I think we need a little bit of that tithe and offering too. Our high taxes aren't enough. So that's why we're at the Supreme Court.
Yep. I want to go ahead, thank you, Ron, and try to get through these because you've all been on hold for over 40 minutes, and I want to try to get to all of you before the show is over. Let's go first to Jim, Texas. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys, or good afternoon. Love your show and love the things that you're doing all around the country.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
My comment is, we have seen over the last year and a half, and probably before that, but when Doge came in, so much waste and fraud that's like in Minnesota, and nothing is being done. These people in Congress are still there raising problems. When will these people that have stolen all the millions from the American taxpayer be held accountable?
Yeah, Jim, it's the one news story issue here. Again, people forget so quickly.
Well, and once again, Jim, the president, remember, announced at the State of the Union that new task force to tackle fraud. We're also seeing stories coming out of California now.
Yeah, I'm not
that it's a hospice
happening.
Fraud that takes Medicaid dollars through hospice programs, and in some cases, it's going to patients that are made up, that are fictitious. So that is being investigated. Vice President Vance is in charge of that. He did a big kickoff this week talking about it. So the administration is going to do something about it and move forward. Now, members of Congress going to go to jail over people in Minnesota or California misusing the Medicaid programs? Probably not, because they just made it lax and easy for there to be fraud. But I don't think that you're going to find a paper trail where they had intent saying, hey, I'm going to pass this law and then we're going to get you a lot of money. Then you give me money back. I just don't think you'll find that.
All right. Continuing on, Jim. Thanks, Carl. And let's go to Danielle, who's calling from Colorado. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to say something about how, yeah, I'm glad you guys are bringing that, what she said back up, because people have short-term memory. They forget things like that. But I bet you're bringing that back up. But I think it's funny, too, that they always want to say that, well, when they had the border crisis going on, the excuse was, oh, well, we don't have enough workers or blah, 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 right? But they're pushing abortion like crazy. So what is it that you want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of workers we could potentially have.
Danielle, that's a valid point, valid argument. But I do think you're right. And look, we're not just bringing this back up. Most people have never seen this before. We had never seen this before until today. You are now only seeing these clips start showing up because people are doing their digging as the Newsoms are potentially, or as of right now, I would say, Gavin Newsom's the leading candidate for the Democratic Party in 2028. So, of course, now they're going to do some diving and seeing what they can find. And look, I'm sure a conservative group found this and said, we got to share this clip because it's unbelievable. But it is unbelievable. It should be one of those things that disqualifies you from potentially being the candidate to represent not just Democrats, but represent the entire country. Last call of the day, Bill, Wyoming, take it. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I already gave my double impact a donation.
So appreciate it.
Thing of it is that this gal is way offline. I mean, you can hear by her using woke terms, and she's saying stuff like, well, conception, we've got plenty of fathers and daughters being woke up. Thing of it is that, to use a sports term, she's not way out in left field. The game is being played at the ball diamond, but she's clear out there in the ice rink waiting for the hockey team to appear. Thing of it is that we've got she goes offline when she says fathers and daughters. I heard a minister say we're missing fathers. And I say, no, we are missing dads. We are missing men who find out that they put this woman in this condition, and they're either, hey, I'm one of many in line, or they pack up and go to another state, or they say, here's some money, get yourself an abortion.
Yeah, Bill,
and
look,
that's not right.
I'm only cutting you off because I agree with you, and I think that is why I'm such a supporter of these pro-life pregnancy centers around the country as well, because they step up with sometimes fathers will not step up. They also step up and help dads, potential dads that were not expecting to be dads or did not anticipate that. What is it going to look like for them? That is why I'm such a big proponent of those resource centers. You are right. Maybe the only thing you can look at and go, is this 2022? Is because she's proudly using woke. And we know that that essentially become a word that not even the Democrats associate themselves with as much anymore, just a few years later, because they could see how it all ties in. That was interesting. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. We're getting closer to Friday, everybody. With that also means we're getting closer to the end of our Double Your Impact Drive. I need you today. to make a donation and have it doubled. You've heard our fight against Gavin Newsom. Well, it's also in the Supreme Court of the United States as we represent Calvary Chapel, San Jose. It's Calvary Chapel versus California, and we are there for them, and we want to be there for you as well. Be a part of it today at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.